you can just keep talking. Check.
So that's what I heard too, though. I heard that too.
Yeah, I don't know. That seemed like some conspiracy, grassy knoll type.
Could it be conspiracy, though?
Like, not really. I mean, how much of this conspiracy is it?
And you know, you heard no more conspiracy about Nipsey's death.
Well, I think it was clear, right?
It was hot for that week or two.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's kind of clear what happened, so I think the conspiracies are pretty much dead.
People went right back to their unhealthy lifestyle.
The beef with Dr. Sebi is kind of weird. We're recording though. So, yo, what up? This is Rap Sucks Radio, rapsucksradio.com with your homeboy Trek Life and your fam Kev Sakota.
Yes, sir.
We are live and direct. Thank y'all for listening, as always. If it's your first time listening, go back and listen to the old episodes. It's worth it.
Yeah, you couple of them at least. A couple of them are really bad too. But
cop everything we come out with. Yeah. Opening question.
Okay.
Are we like the Pharrell and Chad Hugo of podcasting? Or
the Niptones?
What just happened? Oh, my God.
This is Mr. Sugar. Y'all are now listening to Rap Sucks Radio. Check it out.
Oh, my God. First of all, he said it, I didn't, and you're back in Rap Sucks Radio.
Yes, I said it. By the way, Unless it comes with RIP right before it, I don't want anybody else
exactly
saying it either.
It's, oh my God, Rap Sucks Radio. Let's go ahead and move forward and get into Out Here Tripping. Yo, Kevin, man, who's out here tripping?
My vote this week was for John Kelly, General John Kelly.
And why? Well, this week.
For someone who I would assume has overcome a lot of obstacles and hurdles in his life,
yeah,
and faced obviously some pretty extreme challenges, and lived a life that has been probably fairly honorable, even though he's said a lot of stupid stuff over the last couple of years,
and then
couldn't handle your boy, yeah. Now he's taking a job working for a company that has something to do with the child separation policy and the detainment of innocent children at the border.
Yep.
You know, the political statement.
The political statement.
Yes.
That's all it's doing. That's all it really is.
The war on America. The war on your freedoms.
The war on your
rights.
Freedom. Yeah, it's because you're just not free. Mm-hmm. So you should be scared. Be more scared, actually. Yes. Anyway, so he's taking a job at a company that is building the fencing,
That's why I wasn't sure if I even wanted to bring it up, because I'm not sure the extent of it. I'm sure we'll find out more over the,
Yeah, we'll post about it. Because
there's nothing else going on in the news. But yeah, they're not going anywhere. They're going to make sure that their constituency feels very secure.
Speaking of their constituency feeling secure, we got to talk about this ban that Facebook, the sweeping ban.
Right.
By the time this drops, it'll be a couple of weeks since Facebook decided to delete the accounts of people they considered dangerous.
Right. That was the thing.
They removed these people because they were dangerous. Some were far right. And in the mix of that removal, mm-hmm. Minister Louis Farrakhan was removed.
Right. And then the other two names I heard were Alex Jones and Milo Yiannopoulos.
Yes. Right. Yes. So focusing specifically on Louis Farrakhan and the reasoning. So here's a quick story. When my family moved from South Central Los Angeles and I went to 52nd Street Elementary and in K. Anthony, which is an all-black private school, when I got in trouble at that school, when I didn't really get in trouble a lot. I was really a pretty big nerd at the time. But when something happened that was questionable between two students, because we were all black or we were all kind of minority people of color, I wasn't immediately accused of anything. I actually got kind of a fair shake from my teachers. Like, okay, what happened? Why did this happen? Who started it? Let me hear the whole story, okay. Right? But when I moved to West Covina, and this is one thing that Silo always talks about, I started just being the one who did it. Every single time something happened, even if I didn't start it, the immediate assumption by the teacher was that I was in the mix of it or that I did it. Now, 99% of the time, I was actually not, especially like younger, 6th, 7th grade, I wasn't even close to involved. But this is what the Louis Farrakhan thing reminds me of. Like, you cannot have a group of far right or white people or questionable people get in trouble without just kind of throwing a black man in there because you feel like, you know, he did something or
that whatever. Was my first reaction, which is, and this is the thing. I can talk a lot more about what Alex Jones or Milo Yiannopoulos have said.
Right.
Than fans of Alex Jones or Milo Yiannopoulos could speak specifically with any kind of specificity or intelligence about the things that they may disagree with
right.
Minister Farrakhan
right.
has said in his past. And you know what? I might even agree with some of those. Like, yeah, maybe that, you know what?
Yeah, that might have been a bit far much. Or whatever, yeah.
But what the first thing that struck me was like, was that whoever, let's assume it was Mark Zuckerberg, instituted this policy and said, you know, there was a meeting somewhere of people who got fired from Reebok for not getting Beyonce, who said, we need to make this seem balanced. There right. need to be bad people on both sides.
Right.
So
right.
who can we get? And they had to dig back
yeah.
into the late 80s.
Yep. Late 80s, early 90s, yep.
To go on and come up with Louis Farrakhan.
Yep.
And that's the thing that I was like, you didn't help your cause.
Not at all. No, I think at the end of the day, you basically said, like, you almost appeased people. You see what I'm saying? Because. Right.
Which might have been, they might have had an algorithm that said, hey, this is how you're going to. Make lemonade out of this.
Yeah, but
I'm really on that Beyonce.
You are. Really, yeah, this is doubling Bayhive in the building, like right now, live and direct. Like, wow, this is the most Bayhive-y we've ever gotten. Wow, dude, he's cheersing you for the Bayhive. This is actually happening. That. Beer can cheers.
No, nobody spilled anything.
Nobody spilled it. It's okay. All right, settle down, everyone. Okay. Anyway, no, I don't like it. Like, I'm just gonna, I think that's kind of the more simple. That's the simplest way that I can put this. I don't like it, and the reason why I don't like it is basically how I started off the or my opinion of it. It's maybe you did have an algorithm. Maybe even the speeches from, you know, the late 80s, early 90s have been circulating, and his voice may have been getting larger. I didn't see it. I didn't see that happening. I didn't see his voice being any larger because of social media than it was before.
Right. No, I would assume that, you know, black folks especially would have seen it.
Yeah,
and objectively been able to say, like, oh yeah, I guess.
But. I mean anybody that I've ever, I mean anybody that I've talked to about it recently was like, wow, that was,
yeah, like really,
like what, you know, I hadn't really heard a lot about Farrakhan in quite a while, so. It's almost like you just kind of, like you said, you just needed to draw somebody so that everybody else felt comfortable. And I don't know. It just seems kind of stupid. Like, it doesn't really seem like there's a better word for it than stupid. Like, no, that was stupid. That wasn't well. If it was thought out, it wasn't well thought out. And if you feel like it was well thought out, it was just dumb. It was a dumb approach to it.
Yeah, and it's a trip because. So this is the other thing that if you don't know the history of Minister Farrakhan or the larger movement. You should probably, owe it to yourself to do some research and figure out how you
sure.
feel about
sure.
about everything having to do with it on your own.
Sure.
As, you know, if you don't know who Alex Jones is or Milo is, you should probably go check them out because what they're saying is affecting you
right
now.
Right, absolutely.
But yeah, that was really weird. The thing about it is that I don't know that I agree with the concept of banning any of them. It's not like I said that I think is the conversation I kind of want to have is yeah, the Farrakhan thing is like, really? Like,
yeah,
that's
absolutely.
that's the you know, if we assume that they want to have two sides to the issue.
Yeah, I like, think really? If there was a Rap Sucks Radio response, total response, it would just be that. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like Alex Jones got shut down off of all these other platforms because he said way out stuff that got people potentially killed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But does he not have a right to say those things? I'm not sure. I feel like he can play himself just like when Minister Farrakhan said things that got him in trouble with the community outside of the nation.
Right.
He had to pay the price. He might not have been too concerned with it.
Right.
He obviously, I would assume, didn't necessarily agree with them, you know, to even a small percentage, but he had to pay he had to deal with it.
Right. Absolutely.
Right. There were consequences that he or the folks who followed him and who listened to what he had to say had to contend with.
Right. Right. Right.
You know, and that's the same thing that's happening with Alex Jones. It's the same thing that happens with Milo Yiannopoulos. The thing about Milo and Alex Jones is that they are super trolls.
Right.
And they are exercising their right to speak in an era where that voice is not earned with nearly the blood, sweat, and tears that Minister Farrakhan earned his voice.
Correct. Correct. Correct.
And I say this not having followed every speech that he made and everything. But,
but
it's like, if you want to come, if Milo goes to Berkeley, I'm sorry. If you go and get your ass whooped in Berkeley,
that's on
you.
You
deserve to get your ass whooped.
That's on you. Yes.
That's on you.
Yeah.
If, you know, I guarantee you that Farrakhan can go to any city in this country at any point in time from the 80s to now and speak to an audience that wants to hear him, and there's not going to be an issue.
Right.
And not if there's an issue, he's going to make sure it's handled.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think the other thing is that if you... I'm going to play devil's advocate and some of this. Okay. I can understand as a social media platform, as the, you know, head of a CEO of one, saying, look, this is affecting our bottom line. Right. People are having this. These people are screaming these opinions. Not particularly Farrakhan. I'm just going to exclude him from this particular argument because, like I said, I don't think anybody in this room agrees that he should have been banned for any reason. So let's exclude Farrakhan from this point. These far right speakers are being removed because they're affecting the bottom line, not so much because of what they're saying. What they're saying is hateful or hurtful or even harmful, or that you even care. At the end of the day, I don't think that Zuckerberg really even listens or cares about what they say. It's just that the people are saying, look, we're tired of it. He's probably getting some form of response or reaction from other people. And there's that, right? You have Donald Trump Jr. saying that social, you know, that the internet is largely right biased or, you know, biased against the right or whatever.
Right.
Which,
by the way, is complete horseshit.
It's nonsense. It's BS. But so I think of my own page, right? I think to myself, you know, there are some people that I've just been like, look, you got to not be. Because you're not doing anything to advance the conversation when myself and my group of friends want to have a legitimate discussion about things. You're not advancing it. You're just trolling.
Right.
Should they be banned for that? I would argue no. But that would be my only devil's advocate response, is that they're really affecting the bottom line. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's really the only reason that we're here. This kind of like the audio live opinion. I know A-Live kind of thinks that way generally about when things happen, that the money is normally the issue. But that would be the only thing that I could consider any reason for reacting in this manner to. Other than that, if you don't care for what they say, then tune them out and turn them off. And that's the end of it. Don't follow. Don't respond. Hide the post and leave it at that.
Right.
So, yeah. And in addition to all of that, When you consider everything that's been said up to this point on this show, then it makes it even more ridiculous that Farrakhan was thrown in. You know what I'm saying? Because he wasn't affecting your bottom line at all. People weren't logging off of Facebook because Farrakhan was saying crazy things.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You likely were not getting a lot of notices unless it was people trolling. Like, if you're going to remove Alex Jones, then you got to remove eeny, meeny, miny, mo, this guy. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and that's the other thing, is that Alex Jones did, I don't know about Milo, but Alex Jones got removed from, or InfoWars got removed from several platforms, right? Multiple platforms.
Right.
Already. So Facebook makes this decision, and it's newsworthy probably just because it's Facebook, but somehow it becomes a newsworthy thing. And in the mix of that, it's decided that You're gonna throw extra names in the mix.
Yeah, just out of nowhere. Yeah, it just it didn't make a lot of sense. It's hard to make sense of it. You know, it really is. I can't imagine that any meeting about it or any discussion about it had any real value other than let's pick a name. That seems like that's all that really happened.
Yeah, it's odd.
And I'm sure I'm sure they were going to say. Speaking of odd, there's a subject, and this is way left of what we were just talking about right now. Like I'm about to veer off of it. I want to kind of get a little less serious for a moment. Mm. So we were actually supposed to talk about this on the second episode of the show.
Okay.
You were getting ready to take a trip with the family to Universal Studios.
Correct.
Amusement park. All right. Prior to that trip, we had talked about like which rides made you vomit so that you were prepared for those.
Yeah, and I did field research. That's really crazy.
So I'd like to know.
Right.
This isn't the old head energy moment of the show. This is just the old part of the show. What the hell? So just to preface this, man, like 11 years ago, I went to Magic Mountain. Oh. Or a little longer than that. Maybe like 13. This is longer than 11 years ago. This time, like Magic Mountain,
that
13,
was
13
almost
14 years
the exact
ago.
Amount of time since I've been there.
Yeah. I haven't been to Magic Mountain since 1990. And when I left, I was like, I am never, ever going back again. If I had a headache, body aches, ever in my life.
Dude.
This was before I met my wife, so it was like I had gone before then. So,
that was way longer than
It was way longer than 11 years ago. So yeah, I was like, I'm never returning to this place ever again in my life. And we've recently gone to Universal Studios a couple of times, and I've been able to deal with this. So I'm curious of your Universal Studios experience.
What, you were able to deal with it?
I was able to deal with it, but I want to hear your experience first.
This is my thing, is that I notice also that I say this is my thing a lot before I tell you what my thing is, which is kind of repetitive, but this is my thing.
In your opinion.
In my opinion, what I will say is, I've always been cool on roller coasters, like actual real life. You know, the guy with, you know, that just drank 14 beers and came to set up the state fair, you know, used his 18-year-old screwdriver to put together this rickety roller coaster. I've always been fine on that.
World's most dangerous thing.
Terrible. Yeah. As a parent, you're like, this is a death. State county fair. This is horrendous.
Everybody gonna die.
Not cool. Yeah. Anyway, I've always been cool though. And you know, if I can breathe and all that stuff, I'm good. But the millennial roller coaster is the equivalent of when you used to get an animal as a kid before we knew about animals' rights, where you would catch something that you thought was going to be a pet, and because you were a dick, you would put that animal in a shoebox and shake it up. I don't think I ever actually really did that, but I think like it's like a thing that boys do, little boys do, right? It's like,
yeah, well, yeah,
because you get
boys,
bored or whatever,
boys,
right?
I don't know about, yeah, little boys kind of torture animals, that's for sure.
That is the new roller coaster is put a pair of 3D glasses on that make things look different than anything that it looks in the real world, in nature. Get in this box, and then we're going to shake your ass up.
Okay. Wait. Hold on. Hold that thought, because I actually want you to get on the mic for this one.
Okay.
So just for anybody who has not been to Universal Studios, they've switched. I don't want to say switched, because they didn't really have rides before, per se, right?
They just added a couple.
So they've added rides, and in the midst of adding rides, they've kind of added this thing where you sit in a room, there's a large screen, and the semblance of being on a roller coaster is happening. It's more or less. So if you're like, you know,
motion simulation,
motion simulation. Yeah. So if you're prone to motion sickness, this is the way to be like, yeah, let's get them. Like we're about to make sure that these people get it. So I only experienced that at Universal Studios on the Simpsons ride.
Okay.
Everything else I was actually able to deal with. And then you know, the Transformers one and all that. I was cool. Mummy, I was pretty cool.
You did the Harry Potter one?
I did, yeah.
That was supposed to be the one. Yeah. Like when they first opened it, that's the one that it messed everybody up.
That one didn't get me as bad.
Because my understanding of it is that the way the brain works is that if you're looking at the screen and the motion of the vehicle you're in, because you're in something that moves, right, on hydraulics, if what you're looking at on the screen doesn't match perfectly what you're feeling, that's what causes the motion sickness. So we already know that my sense of self and my sense of feeling as a human being is much stronger than Trek's.
Okay.
So that explains that.
All right.
But okay. But yeah, that's the thing. But the cool part about it is that it's one thing to worry about a carny setting up a roller coaster. The whole thing is you're dealing with a bunch of nerds. If they slightly tweak their settings, you're gonna end up puking in front of your child. That's not cool.
I just want to know, what ride?
Oh, I avoided. I went on the Minions ride.
Okay. All right. Now,
which is the weakest one.
Trek. Chuckle.
That's like sitting in bleachers and a slight breeze blows by.
I went to Universal like 3 years ago, just about 3 years ago.
Okay.
And I went on the Minions. I didn't get on the Simpsons ride. But I went on Transformers, Mummy, Jurassic Park. The Harry Potter rides could fit. Yo!
Couldn't fit?
Could fit. Big Shug was too big for the ride. Yeah.
Wait, the roller coaster or the one?
Either one, I was too, I couldn't fit. They have the little, like, if your ass is too big, shit, they test you out right there like this.
Okay, and Big Shug is big, but you're not that big.
But here's the thing, though, that was kind of hilarious about it. When the person I was dating at the time, she went on there with her daughter and her friend, like, the little roller coaster. They sit in line. We had the hookup, so we didn't sit in line at all. They went in line for like about 5 minutes, got a ride. It was over like 11 seconds.
That's what I heard.
I was like this. Yeah, I'm kind of glad and get on that. And then the other ride, they sit in line for like about 10 minutes again. And that ride lasts about 45 seconds to a minute.
Oh, okay.
That one. So I was heartbroken.
In the big castle?
Yeah. I was heartbroken. It looked cool. But
and they were all okay.
Yeah, they was all okay. It was okay.
Good for you.
But the whole illusion of the if you look at the screen, if you don't look at the screen, like my sister, like, remember when Star Wars first came out?
That's the thing. Yeah, I love that when it first came out. But I was also probably like, what, 12?
Yeah, but there was like this, my sister was like, if you don't look at the screen, you won't feel nothing. Like this, okay. She closed her eyes and it started jerking. She's like, oh shit, yeah, you'll feel it, yeah.
Yeah. You're literally just getting shaken in a box.
You're getting shaken, but
with your eyes closed, hoping that this little boy doesn't kill you, shaking you in that box.
But I can honestly say I do like it. I came front. I like the old school. I like old school roller coasters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Universal, I'm not too impressed. Making my sister work for Universal, that's what I'm like. Whatever.
This new generation of roller coasters doesn't know what you need to put the glasses on.
Put the glasses on.
Yeah, what's up?
Put them glasses on.
How you got?
Put some 808 in
there. Roller coaster over energy, though.
I got roller coaster
over. Yeah, man.
Not gonna front. And I mean like the old school roller coasters, not the ones at Six Flags. I have not been to Six Flags since 98. Yes, 98. They got roller coasters now that you lay down and they flip you as they go into a loop. I will pee on somebody or throw up on somebody if they do that shit to me. Give me the old school Colossus. Viper. What's other old ass roller coasters? Shit, I'm mad.
Wow.
Let me get off the mic. Wow. Nah, not Ninja. That's not good.
Easy. Take it easy.
Okay. No, I'm not saying Ninja. Hold on. Did we get racial off a roller coaster?
The more racist it sounds.
Look, fuck Ninja. Kev like this. Excuse me? What'd you say? Fuck Ninja? I love ninjas. They're my ninjas. Not Trick kicking me off.
Wow. Yeah, no. It's like once. Real roller coasters are vinyl. New roller coasters, Spotify.
I have to get on them now because my daughter's 11. So
what, on Spotify?
Well, Spotify too, but real roller coasters, and you know.
But the real roller coasters are not the real. I'll say this: the real roller, quote unquote, real roller coasters. Now they're adding extras to these roller coasters now that they never would
have. Oh yeah, no, that's true.
Oh yeah, this is crazy. Like yeah, we went to Knott's Berry Farm. I told you guys we went to like the Boysenberry Festival on accident. Yeah, right. And then like the right. Yeah, like the dude. That was our fire festival. That was our fire festival. But anyway, no, but the one where you like stand up straight, you know what I'm saying? And then it's it was like, what? Why though?
But
why?
I used to be able to do all that. Like start, if I go start first now, I'll throw up. I used to be able to go on all the ones like the one you stand up in the at the carnival where it just you stand up and it just spins you around so and then it turns you sideways so you could
nope. Not once.
I used to be able to do that. I definitely can't do that now, but I could still do roller coasters.
Not ever in any point of my life.
One after another.
Right.
But
yeah, I've never been able to do that at all.
I need like, you know, yeah, cup, you know, quick nap, beer, maybe.
Maybe a couple of days.
For real. Matter of fact, nah, I can't do it. I can't do it. Who the fuck is K. Smith, by the way?
I don't think we can talk about it. It has something to do with the song I can't remember what team it was that they were playing it and it's blatantly racist.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
All right. I just want to post that to
We didn't know. We'll post it and then maybe we'll talk about it later. But it's old too. It's like from 3 weeks ago. So.
Well,
which by the time this exactly airs, it's going to be from five weeks ago. So, yeah.
Oh, all right.
And she's from like 100 years ago. So who cares?
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody cares at all. You know what nobody cares about?
Avengers?
I actually care about Avengers enough to want to know about it. Okay. This is less about sports. I didn't put this on the list, by the way.
Oh, okay.
This is less about sports than it is about like sports personalities and the discussion around them.
Oh, you got to talk about Shaq and your boy?
I'm not. Shaq and Charles Barkley are stupid. That's true. Actually, Shaq's cool. Charles Barkley's, you know, a walking penis. So, no. Okay, so we've done this thing in the NBA and probably across the board where we're going to make like an antagonist and a protagonist, right? So, you know, at one point, like Kobe Bryant was the absolute antagonist. He was, you know, and Shaq was the protagonist, right? And years have gone by, and you start to realize that Shaq was actually kind of the asshole, and Kobe was just kind of some dude working outside of the allegations, you know.
Right.
So now we're doing this with Damian Lillard and Russell Westbrook, right? So, you know, I won't get into it because it's funny because I like Damian Lillard, like, a lot. Like, I'm a big fan of dude's game, and I have been since his rookie year when I was like, yo, who's this? Because I don't listen. Anybody who wants to talk to me about sports at any point, I don't watch college basketball. And I will not. I refuse to watch. This is a shout out to my homeboy Carl, my homeboy Mr. C. I am not going to watch a professional athlete beat up on an investment banker at all. It's not happening. You are going to go on to be a professor at this school. This dude's going to the NBA. I'm not watching you play against him. I don't care if you hit the big shot. If you do, that's fine. Go hug your girlfriend. Go back to, you know, corn-fed Wichita, wherever the hell you from. And now he's going to go to the NBA and make millions, and you be his accountant. Like, knock it off. All right? So I'm not watching college basketball. Don't ask me to.
That's the way I look on.
Yeah, it's not happening. So starting for the pros, like I like Damian Lillard. And I've always been like, yo, Damian Lillard's dope. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I thought that LaMarcus Aldridge was stupid for leaving Portland and, you know, whatever. But now we've turned this corner where it's like we're overselling Damian Lillard. So the example is a reporter asked Damian Lillard like if he feels any pressure before a basketball game. And Damian Lillard goes into this response about like real pressure is like a homeless person trying to find something to eat. Or, you know, he goes into, you know, real life things that are actual real pressure. And he's like, nah, to say that anything we do is experiencing pressure is like a disrespect to a real person. You know what I'm saying? Well, not real, you know, not real person, but a person who experiences pressure. And everybody's cheering for it, right? And I'm like the only one, like, nigga, did he ask you that? He asked you in the context of a basketball game. He wasn't like Damian Lillard. All right, let's just say you're in Iraq, right? And he didn't start the question off like that. He asked you a question about basketball. And we're cheering him on for, like, not answering the question. And I get it. I get it. He's probably...
But is this athletes in the social media age where it's like that soundbite is going to travel so fast, so quick?
Yeah. And trust me, it's a better soundbite. If outside like, of
I don't
my
know,
opinion.
I don't need to know anything about any man's fingers.
Fair enough. Wow. Fair
no
enough.
No disrespect to any if, man. I don't need to know anything about any woman's fingers.
If you're going, I don't even know what episode we are right now. Where do we go? I'm sorry. We're
Damian Lillard.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm going to come back.
The social media, the soundbite era of everything.
Right.
Well, yeah, and the soundbite era of everything has led to this thing where we, again, this is my take on most people's basketball opinion. And this is why I just stopped arguing it. You know what I'm saying? I just stopped discussing basketball, even with my closest friends, because it comes down to, I like this guy, so what he did was excusable. I don't like this guy, so what he did is inexcusable. That's really the answer, right? I've let ESPN tell me that not to like this guy. I bought into the story, and so be it. But I wanted to talk specifically on that.
About things that he did on the court or off?
It doesn't matter, on or off. Like if you don't like a person, if you've decided that you don't like a person's personality, right? Then all of a sudden their triple-double is like the worst thing that you could do on a basketball court. Huh. Matter of fact, I, to give you a second soundbite before we kind of move on, there's a soundbite about Russell Westbrook, right? And he said, look, I don't care what you guys say. I have two beautiful kids, or three. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to live my life, be happy every day. I know what I need to work on and what I don't. I know what I'm good at and I know what I'm not good at, et cetera, right? Internet blew up, went crazy, and some people that you know I talked to on a regular basis went crazy.
Sold some cars.
So I asked a simple question, right? He said he loves his kids or whatever. So here's the soundbite that you wanted. I'm gonna give you guys the Russell Westbrook soundbite that people wanted. All right, Russell Westbrook, what do you think about our opinion of your basketball game? Yo, this shit really affects me, dog. I wake up, I smack my fucking kids in the face because I hate my life every damn day. I wake up and I hate living. You know, everything you guys say affects me, right? And I hate my life. Is that what you wanted him to say? Because outside of that, like, what was he supposed to say? Like, of course, like, at some point you get to this point where, and look, we can take it off of basketball, we can take it off of sports.
That's what I was going to say, is that what I'm hearing is that everybody who covers, speaks about, or injects an opinion about professional sports wants to have professional wrestling to say that's not a real sport, but then wants to treat the sport that they specialize in the same way professional wrestling, they want the heel.
Well, yeah, that's what it seems like.
Well, that's what's always.
But that's kind of always been, in a way, I mean, right?
It's well, just, it has, but I think this is a subject that we've been meaning to get into on this show quite a bit. It's you know the backstory of your heroes now, though, or the considered. Like, we've always kind of edged on this topic and always kind of like, we got to talk about that in full. Like, well, I think today's the day. We're starting to get this backstory on people that we admire for whatever talent that they have, right? You know, Michael Jackson, R. Kelly would be, you know, two. Tiger Woods would be the other, you know, and so on and so forth. And the list goes on and on. And as we're getting this background information, I think that we're going into kind of an unfair argument on both sides. You know what I'm saying? We're either like, we love this guy, like, this everything, you know what I'm saying? You know, Beyonce has never done anything wrong in her life. You know, it's like, wait, what? Is that what we're going to do here? Like, I get it. Or are we really going to take this information and say, wow, these are real people that can shoot a basketball really well or sing or dance, and that's the end of it. Like, I really feel like this kind of like, you know, and I feel like I'm long-winded on it, but I feel like this kind of like knowing the backstory of your heroes, I use heroes loosely, is starting to actually affect the conversation about the sport or music or entertainment or whatever in a weirdly negative way.
I feel like it's more acute in sports, because when we were growing up, old head energy, you might run across the promotion, sales, and marketing person for this professional organization who did all those things.
Right.
From a cubicle. Now you meet the people who run the marketing department or the promotion department or the branding department or the sales department for that organization.
Right.
Right. And they sell all those boxes that most of us never get to stand in all those seats courtside that we see all our favorite celebrities sitting in. Right. And so it goes back to the A-Live. It's all about that money.
Well, yeah, but it is.
You know, and that's why you get that producer who's behind the scenes, who's 15 years old, who's saying, no, we need you to say as much wild, ridiculous stuff as you can possibly say.
But here's the thing, though. What exactly do you want from your celebrities, your entertainers, your basketball players, your football players? What do you want from them? Do you want them to not be human? Do you want them to be more human than you are? Do you want them to be superhuman? Do you want them to be... What do you want from them? I can't argue when someone does something wrong, per se. R. Kelly, what up? I can't argue that, right? But
thank you for listening.
Yeah, exactly. But what I... R. Kelly can't
get
read.
Get off that little girl.
R. Kelly can't read, and that's why he wasn't in... Oh, you can't read now?
You can read a podcast.
Exactly. No, you can't fly. So, how'd you write those songs, R. Kelly? Illiterate. You illiterately wrote those songs, son? Did you?
You're going to remember this because you got a good memory.
Trip.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I can honestly say probably there's always going to be a protagonist and antagonist. Always.
Well,
it don't matter what. It's just now, because think about it. Like in the 80s, it was the Lakers and the Celtics. Bird was the antagonist. The Lakers was the protagonist.
On the court, though.
Well, on the court, they can't find a villain, so they create one.
Right, but I'm saying on the court is fine. I'm talking off the court.
Well,
we literally want Russell Westbrook to be unhappy with his life. Like, that's where we're at now. It would be fine if we was like, we don't like dude and how he plays basketball. But now fans are like mad that he said he'd be happy. Like, wait, what do you mean you're going to be happy? You should be unhappy. I said this about you. Like, hey, I said it. I went on Twitter. I said something about you. And now you're still going to be happy? This is, what are we doing right now? What? How dare you? So I get your point. Like, I get your point. But come on. What are we doing right now?
But that's just marketing. That's just,
that's it. Yeah.
You want to make people feel, you know, when we talk about people feeling some kind of way, there's a connotation to it. But literally all they want you to do is feel some kind of way. And they don't care what it is.
Sure.
They don't care whether it's a positive or a negative. They want you to feel something. And because it can be as artificial as it is, as long as they're making you feel something. That's the goal.
Because they draw your attention.
Right. And they don't care about the people who are actually affected by it, which, you know, could be the athletes, but then they're going to turn around and say, well, that's why you're getting paid the big bucks.
And it kind of goes back to my point a couple of weeks ago about, like, well, but if you sold the actual product, you would be fine, right? Look, let's just be honest, okay? It's fair to be honest, right? Magic Johnson cheated on his wife so much that he eventually contracted HIV. It's well known that Magic Johnson was like, come on.
That's true.
Like, let's be honest. That's what he is. He's a great guy. He's an amazing, amazing businessman. One of the greatest. He's my favorite basketball player of all times. But at the end of the day, Magic Johnson is a dude who cheated on his wife to the point where he ended up contracting a disease that basically ended his career.
Yep.
Right?
And Kobe cheated on his wife.
If that happens today, he never becomes the Magic Johnson that he ended up being, you know, currently, right? He's done.
Probably,
it's over.
Right.
There's no Magic Johnson Starbucks. Nobody's gonna do that if that happens today. But we didn't really, but
in a way, it's amazing that it happened for him.
Is it though?
I kind of think so.
I
I think it speaks to the strength of what his legacy was. I don't know that I necessarily disagree with you. I'm just, when you put it that way, I'm like, oh, that's interesting. But I don't know. I mean, he's such an icon.
Right.
For Absolutely. Los Angeles. Sure. And then he was also doing something with his power and his clout in the city that many saw, again, an upside to.
Sure. Sure.
You know, and which he saw as well, you know, and I obviously never talked to him about it, but yeah, I think there are a number of different ways you could look at it, but I think part of what I see your point being, and I may be wrong, is that yes, it would be listen, this is the reason why people like following college sports, is that the idea, I think the word that comes up a lot is purity and love for the game and all these sort of, you know, right, concepts.
Which we're losing in college sports to begin with. But
exactly. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, really? So all these guys are out there on the field destroying their bodies because they want to graduate from college and go on to be investment bankers? No.
Right. No, not at all.
No, they're part of the same business that you are fostering.
Right.
But you know, so do you want it to be purely sport for the love of the game? Let's go watch some t-ball and leave it at that.
Right, because there is nothing to be, or very little to be gained from that, unless you're I haven't come across this at all, but unless you come around the crazy parents that believe that their t-ball kid is going to be the next,
that's the best,
Mike Trout or whatever. I can't all the way buy it. I can't buy into it now.
I just don't think you're going to have what you want.
No, it's not possible. It's never going to happen. It's just one of those kind of grinds my gears moment. Like, why is this happening? What are you guys doing? And to have a reasonable conversation about it is impossible, because it's like, but I don't like him. It's like, but you've never met him. So what are you even talking about?
But that's the same. That's any celebrity.
So right. Athletes. That's why I'm talking
about the marketing departments that these organizations have made the athletes celebrities, because it pays dividends to do so.
And it pays, not only does it pay for the league, but it pays the athletes as well. Some of the athletes don't seem to care as much. Some of the athletes want to sell you, or some of the celebrities want to sell you what they sell you. I use, you know, it's kind of interesting.
That's why they hate Marshawn.
Yeah, I'm only here so I don't get fired. Like, I'm only going to sell you what I think that he probably represents most people. I think he represents, like, you know, a larger percentage of popular athletes and celebrities. Like, look, dude, I'm only really here to sell you music. And if this music sells you Sprite, then so be it. Like, I'm not really...
I like Skittles. Good. You know,
exactly. Cool. Like, I'm not trying to... Like, I'm not selling Sprite because I don't want to sell you Sprite at the expense of you knowing my daughter's business.
Right.
Like, you want to drink Sprite with me on the bottle because you think that I'm a dope rapper, not because you know who I'm dating or, you know, my marriage or anything like that. Like, I just think that there is a line, and we've decided that we're going to cross it and it doesn't matter anymore. Like, it's just whimsical now. Like,
we're way into it.
Yeah, we're like, just, we're done with that line.
It's baked into the cake at this point. And that's it, you know, whether you like it or whether you don't like it, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, it's just, that's part of the game.
I can't. I'm
sorry.
That's just the price you pay.
Go drink that old head energy.
It sucks. It sucks.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I think I don't like.
You also don't have to be a grown up and participate in that conversation.
That is true. But I will, though.
You just said you don't.
No, I will be the counter argument at all times.
The voice of reason.
I will. I can't. I got to steer the ship back, like, the other direction. Like, are we doing this, guys? Are we really
doing this? You're Captain Phillips on the. Just a ship full of pirates.
Just, you know what I'm saying? Ahoy, dumbass mateys. You know what I mean?
Oh, boy. Oh, what else? What else we talking about?
Oh, man. I think we kind of lost probably everybody with sports.
it was a metaphor. It was a larger conversation.
It was a larger conversation. And it should remain kind of a... It's a theme. It's a common theme, you know, internet culture, celebrity, whatever we've
it
been.
It does kind of, you can circle back to my girl Kim.
We didn't mention her last episode.
This is the whole thing is that I'm now, because this is the thing is that I actually do listen to the episodes that we record, and I'm thoroughly tickled by how much I want to work toward being the biggest Kim Kardashian fan that anyone who listens to this podcast knows.
Your own. You are by yourself.
We love you, Kim.
I have to make sure that I always stay. I have no problem with Kim Kardashian whatsoever, but I refuse to be the biggest fan.
Keep your head in those books.
And only in the books.
Hey, but hey, remember a couple episodes ago, though, you did say that we talked about Kanye West not really speaking about it and it not being a public thing.
Oh, did he?
But he did. He said, my wife's going to be my lawyer. And I was like, that is actually not what she's studying.
What is she studying?
Wait, what do you mean?
She's not trying to be an entertainment lawyer.
But that's what I was talking about, though.
Oh, what's the reason?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we talk about this. Yeah,
Did Kanye do something?
That's true. Will Kanye need to be released from jail for? She's trying to stop because I see where you were going. So knock it off. She's.
Or what, did she just have the common foresight to think, I really love this guy. He's my husband. He's the father of my children. And at some point, he's going to need this type of work.
Maybe, but...
The spousal privilege is not going to be quite enough to handle this situation.
We do try to ignore the fact that her dad was a lawyer.
Oh, that was the whole thing. I mean, you know, without disrespecting the dead, it's like they don't have that anymore.
Yeah, they don't have it.
She's Simba.
I love it.
I'm gonna sit my beer on that.
Simba, god dog. If by the time this show comes out, I can create a Kim Kardashian Simba meme to go with that quote, I'm doing it. Oh, man. I'm doing it. Oh my god. Not Kim.
So what is she
attempting to study, and I don't know what practice of law this would be, but she's people who were falsely incarcerated or illegally incarcerated, you know what I'm saying? Okay. I know that this has happened and there's a lot of information out there about it. I just didn't care to read entirely about it, but you know, she went to Donald Trump about about releasing a woman who was falsely imprisoned or improperly or imprisoned.
Unfairly
imprisoned. Right. Thank you, Kev. And so I think that was the jump start. She was saying around that time that she was interested in that. Okay. A year or so later, she's now studying that practice of law. So.
Okay, I got a statement to make.
But. Yeah, but no, though.
I need to be on the mic on this one.
That's all right. So then we're just not going to... Okay, so we're going to do it. Thanks, Kev. My daughter listens to this show.
I know. I'm going to keep it clean. It's going to be completely clean.
Okay, go ahead.
What kind of world do we live in where we have Kanye West, Kim Kardashian, and Steve Harvey fighting for...
The only fight one of those
for,
people.
Wait, fight for equality and whatnot in America to Donald Trump, our president. Yo, if y'all listen to this like 30, 40 years from now, yeah, Donald Trump was really our president.
This is like what is that? What are those things called?
Like a time capsule. Yeah. Like... Yo.
It speaks to the point that we were talking about in the show. Like celebrity value is high, right?
Right.
It's so high that it this is not new. Remember that.
Yeah, I mean
Marilyn Monroe, Lucille Ball. Right. These are people that notably, Lucille Ball more than Marilyn Monroe,
right.
As far as actively being involved in things government wise.
True.
We're able to have influence on government issues and political issues.
Okay, so. I'll say this about two names you just mentioned. Marilyn Monroe, model, actress. And she was also sleeping with the Kennedy boys.
That's all of them?
I think about two of them.
She was sleeping with multiple Kennedys? I did not know that.
Oh, yeah. And then as for Lucille Ball, you got to give Lucille Ball credit because she was handling business in Hollywood. She was like owned a production company.
I don't want to discredit anyone here though, because
I don't. But it's so like, hard.
As much as I that Steve Harvey edges into the Charles Barkley category for me,
right?
He has been a fair. He's a very successful comedian. He's I don't like his talk show, but he's a successful talk show host.
Right.
As much as Kanye West has gone from, all right, homie, get him, to now you getting on my nerves. He is a very successful artist. He's very, you know. So, right. And as much as I'm not ever going to follow anything that Kim Kardashian does, she has been highly successful at promoting herself and her family to the point of some level of viewership. So it's not new for celebrity value to be this, that it's to just, be high. It's okay. Just that it's so high, right?
Yeah, I think it's maybe not the fact that it's celebrities. It's just those celebrities. Like, but I mean, but when Barack Obama was in office, he talked to Kendrick Lamar.
Right, but that...
And he talked to other celebrities. I cannot remember at this point in time. I guess, I don't know, I mean...
Yeah, Jay-Z and...
Yeah,
and,
I guess, I don't know, I mean, for... I mean, you got one celebrity known for a lot of buttons on their coat and talking loud, and then you got one who's outrageous, who snapped after mom passed away, which is horrible. And you got one known for... We all know what she's known for. There's no secret, but we all know she's known for...
I get
for.
It. And Marilyn Monroe was pretty well known similar.
Marilyn Monroe. I mean, if it was like social media back then, you know,
she would be.
Well,
come on,
get that off my chest.
I walked out of the room for like 2 minutes, and this went to oldest head energy.
Yeah, it just got crazy.
I mean, I guess I don't know.
Shout outs, real quick. We gotta wrap it up. We're at time. Shout out to this will be about a week old by the time this airs, but shout out to Wu-Tang Clan getting your own street in Staten Island.
That's right.
That is a beautiful thing. On the same day that Barack Obama got his own street in Los Angeles. Some people were saying that that's fan service, and I'm saying fuck you.
They deserve
to those people.
Wait, they both
people are bothered.
Go ahead, all right.
What are they saying about that?
People are a little irritated because
wait,
they don't
Wu-Tang
feel like
about
a Barack Obama.
Why?
Because I don't know. I think people like to have this like strong opinion about. It's a really popular thing to. But like, let me not. I'm not going to do it. I can't do it on this show.
People who like him otherwise.
Well, people who otherwise don't like him actually.
Oh, you know.
Yeah. What are you gonna? That's why I said fuck off.
Pound sand. Yeah.
Good job with that. Have fun.
The thing that I heard about that I think is just would be the best thing in the world is if they named the stretch of Fifth Avenue in front of Trump Tower. Barack Obama way or whatever they're trying to call.
That'd be hot.
That would be troll New York, level. Yeah,
New York. In the words of these young kids, that'd be lit.
That would be lit. We are going to check out of here. This is Rap Sucks Radio. My name is Trek Life. That's my fam, Kev Sakota.
What up?
That's your fam, Kev Sakota, actually. And shout out to Mr. Suge for being here for like.
Indeed.
8 episodes.
True indeed.
He's trying to edge himself into being part of the show. Like I feel like that's what's happening here.
If I get on, I get on. If I don't, it's okay.
All right. Settle down. RapSucksRadio.com. Catch us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. Man, I really
doesn't matter how you got here. It's just
long
all that
here.
Matters is you're here.
That you're here. Yeah. On that account, you know what I'm saying? We're not pressured like Damian Lillard to end this show on time. So, nah. I'm feeling the Damian Lillard level pressure now. So, I'm going to go ahead and check out. Peace, y'all. Peace.